There are times in the ministry you wonder, why, God, do you want me to preach that? It gets on your heart and you look at it and you wonder, why do you want me to preach that? Especially what I'm going to deal with tonight with this group tonight. But I have a question for you. How many here know somebody that proclaims to know the Lord, but they're not going to church? You know somebody that knows the Lord, but they're not going to church. Well, evidently, that's why God wants me to deal with this. Why is it so important to attend church? Why is it so important? This is not tonight to, castigate anybody. It's really with the intent to help us as we deal with people in helping to see the importance. You're here tonight. You've raised some, well, not quite as cold as it has been, but some, I imagine, some slick streets. It'd probably been very easy for some of you who've worked all day to just sit down in an easy chair and prop your feet up and do nothing. And yet you've come tonight. I believe there's some reasons you do. Churches are facing two very devastating problems among its members. One of those is the authority of scriptures. Many folks do not look at the Bible as an authority. The other problem I believe that we face is self-satisfaction. We're satisfied with the status quo and don't really have a vision, don't have any drive to go forward for the things of God. And as a result of that, I think church attendance has become an option in so many lives. And no doubt some of the folks you're thinking of tonight, that's been true. But I hope somehow there's something here that you might be able to use and can be a blessing in their life. I believe from the Word of God we find it's His plan. Hebrews chapter number 10, you've heard the verses many times. Allow me to read them. It says, "And consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That's in verse 24. And He says, "Forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." When I look at that scripture, there's something that comes across very, very dear to me. It says, "Let us consider one another." It's a consideration of other people, because it's really not about us. It's about others. I believe we also find here that it's really God's command. He says, not forsaking the assembly. And He has a purpose for it, and that is that we might exhort one another. That word exhort is to be very encouraging in their lives. Most everybody has those times in lives that they could use some encouragement. And they can use a little bit of exhorting that might take them a little bit farther. And so there is that which is there. And then I find this, it's interesting. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." Many of us tonight, we would say, we are living in the last days. We're living in the last of the last days. At any moment, we could hear the trumpet sound. We could hear the voice shout, and we'd be taken into His presence. In an instant, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. And as we are in that time, He says, so much the more. Why is that? Because the days preceding that are very difficult. And I know that we live in some very difficult times. I've seen the whole face of our nation change in my lifetime. I've seen it go from a nation that amongst in public things, there would be recognition of God, of His book. We would see all of those things. Matter of fact, when I was a boy, you could not find a store open on Sundays. They were closed. You couldn't get it in 6 days. They weren't going to stay open for you on the seventh, which gave all of its employees that opportunity as well. You found that in those days that there wouldn't be any kinds of schedules of athletics or anything else that would be done on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. But things have changed. And so we live in a time when it's more difficult than it has in the past. And so It's to increase, he says, in the last days. There are a number of reasons I want to share with you before I get to the rest of this tonight, but there's some reasons for attending every service. The first for me is a little bit selfish, and I would say this, because it pleases me. It pleases a pastor. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give account, they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. One of the things that I first notice in lives is there's a change in attendance. And oftentimes that means there's something going on spiritually in their life that ought not be going on. And it makes you worried. It makes you a little apprehensive, because you never want to see people fall down on the Lord. You want to see them go forward for Him. I believe also it maintains a good testimony. Your neighbors tonight probably knew you left the house. They probably see you do that, and they recognize those kinds of things. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. That's interesting. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, going to church is not the only good works by any means, but it certainly does say something to individuals. I believe also, perhaps more than anything else, because of the Lord's special presence. Now, I know tonight that all of us here, if we're saved, we understand the presence of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And so tonight, we understand that, we experience that, it's a part of our lives. But there is something significant as we gather as a group. We find in the book of Matthew, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's just something about that that becomes very, very special. And I love that in my own life. If you would turn to the book of John, chapter number 20. Book of John, chapter 20. And if you would drop down to verse number 19 with me. This is after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And notice verse 19. It says, and then the same day at evening, this is the day that he rose, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Wow. What do we find here? God says to us that Jesus delivered peace to these people as they were gathered together. Verse number 20 goes on, said, when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So he delivers peace to them, and then he also gives them direction. That direction is what we sometimes refer to as the Great Commission. In the next verse, he says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I find that tremendous. They received the Spirit of God on the very day that Jesus arose from the dead. And then we find in verse number 23, he gave them authority to deliver the gospel. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And they had the ability to give the gospel that people could be set free. But I want you to notice verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, what does it say about him? Was not with him when Jesus came. I want you to think about something for a moment. Faith cometh by what? Hearing by the Word of God. And as you and I hear the Word of God, it has an impact in our soul. And quite frankly, we can preach all day, but it's really the Word of God that has the power. It's that which has the authority. And as we preach that Word and we give that out and try to some way allow the Spirit of God to use us, that it will just reach down to our soul and our faith can grow. But Thomas wasn't there. And guess what? He didn't believe him. I find that tremendously interesting. And so he missed out. Not only that, we find also, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. There be no gatherings when I come. I believe that's referring especially to the missions offering. And it gives us an opportunity to give for the cause of missions. Brother Kimmel, as he preached that to us over and over for many, many years, he was so adamant about that he didn't like it if you gave it every 2 weeks. He wanted to make sure he gave it every week. Matter of fact, you know what he did? He wrote out 4 separate checks and sent them the same day. And we weren't to cash them, but one every week. And I always found that a little bit funny in my old mind. But it is an opportunity to give the missions. Think about this tonight. Your church needs you. It needs you. In 1 Corinthians 12:16, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Many of you have felt deep grief just recently with the homegoing of Terry. And you have felt that and felt it for Beverly. And you've made that known to her and to others. And people need that kind of thing. We need each other, amen? It's there. There's something else I find, that is the Lord loves the church. In Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives. You know what it says? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It is that which he loves. It's that which he gave himself for. And thank God for the privilege of being a part of a church that God has given himself for. I find something else, and that is, it brings glory to God. You know, when you and I sing the songs and we rehearse those together, and as we pray and as we deliver the Word of God and as we receive the Word of God, all these things are ready for one intent, and that is to bring glory unto God. Because he's the one that deserves it. In Ephesians, we find it written, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's also a safe place to be. Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a place where truth is at. And what does truth do? Ye shall know the truth, and it will set us free. How we need that in our lives. I want to share with you 4 additional reasons. I believe it's so important. And I hope these things can be of help to you to deal with other folks. Most of you raised a hand tonight. You said, there's somebody I know that they profess to be a Christian, but they're not going to church. And they need to be. You'd agree with that, I believe, tonight. In fact, you've probably tried to help them in that area at some point or other. And so I'm hoping that something here might be helpful to you. One of the things I find, and I heard Beverly say this last Friday, it builds family bonds. What happened to her through the process of the last week or so, and you folks, is just tremendous. She felt such a united being with each of our folks. She mentioned many to me by name and said the little things that they did, which to her were not little, they were big. But it builds family bonds. By the way, to have family bonds, it means somebody, you know, there's going to be an authority. Someone has to lead. It also means self-satisfaction is after everyone else. Because we're seeking to build the other person. It's interesting, as we seek to build the other person, how it also builds us. But it builds those family bonds. I love at the end of a church service, some of you are saying, yeah, I do too. I just like saying amen at the end. But there's many of you, you don't rush out. You stick around and you talk to each other. And there are many times nowadays, I always sit and try to wait and talk to each one. But after a while, I go home because I think, you're never going to stop. Turn the lights out, the last one out. But it's about the other person. I believe also the church has another responsibility, and that's to instruct believers in holy living. Teaching is good, but preaching exhorts us to do something about it. Teaching lays out the Word of God, but preaching saying, hey, this is the direction we need to go. It is teaching in a practical sense. Do you realize that 95%, it might even be greater than, of all counsel is done from this pulpit? Somebody says, I'd like to have some counseling sessions. Set in church, you'll get them. Because we open up the Word of God, and it's that which shows us direction to go. Is that not what counsel is? And as a means of getting that across, we understand there must be an authority from which we preach. And thank God for the Word of God tonight. And you hear me say many times about being thankful that God not only inspired it, but He preserved it. I can count upon it. I know that every word is true. I know that God has preserved this. And I'm also thankful that I have the Holy Spirit of God that can open the Scriptures up for me. Now, if you walk into my office, you'll see several sets of commentaries. Commentary means somebody made a bunch of comments. And those have some good things in them. But the best teaching I get is not out of books, but as I read the Word of God and the Spirit of God opens it up. It's simply marvelous. He is the authority, His book. Sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. I heard somebody just the other day, they was quoting me, they said, if you're rubbing the fur the wrong direction, turn the cat around. If your toes are getting stomped on, move them. Probably some good advice. Why should we attend? We'll build some family bonds. It instructs us in holy living, and it allows us a privilege to use the gifts that God has given to us. We'll not go through them, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a list of gifts. Those are abilities that God gives us. And He divides, the Bible says, to every man severally as he will. So none of us have the same gifts necessarily. And though we may share a similar gift, God's using it perhaps a little bit different with you than He is with me. And so God has given us those gifts, not for our own self-satisfaction, not so we can brag about, hey, we're closer to God than somebody else because they're not demonstrating them. The gifts that God gives us is not for self, but it's for others. It's to be a blessing in their life. And it is that which, by the way, all of us should have. When you read those gifts, you find out that really we all have to have some of that, or have some of that, but there's always those who are a greater example of it. And the authority on gifts tells us they are for the benefit of others, not for ourselves. It builds family bonds. It instructs believers in holy living. It allows the gifts of God to be used in our lives. And one last thought tonight. It provides opportunity for the lost. Provides that opportunity. Interesting thing that I learned many, many years ago. Brother Bob Baer had been in our church and he preached. And I remember after the last service, people were walking up to him. And I heard him talking to him. He said, man, I've never heard preaching like that. Boy, that really deflated me. And we're so glad you came, and that was wonderful. And and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't ever want to have this guy back. It was purely selfish motive. And you know what he did after the service was over and we were just together? He said, I'd really love to come back next year. And I couldn't say no. And it happened the following year as well. But somewhere, either that second year or the third year, I read where the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. And so God provides an opportunity when you and I have tried to talk to somebody about the Lord. If we bring them to church, they can hear it again, perhaps in a different voice. What you say might not get across like somebody else. It might not be the preaching from the pulpit. It might be what they observe as they're sitting in a chair. Parents, when your kids get to be teenagers, have you noticed something? They learn some things from somebody that you've been trying to teach them for 15 years. And they come home and say, man alive, my coach or my teacher or somebody, they said this. You've been saying it and saying it and saying it. It was going in here, it was going out there. But out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so God used a different voice to get that across. And when I learned that, I thought, praise the Lord for Bob Bear. And he came every year until he passed on. My, how God blessed through that. God uses all of us together. And thank God for the privilege. Amen?
Amen.
So, when you're dealing with people who, they know the Lord, but they're not going to church, there's some things you can tell them. And also, if there's some people that don't know the Lord, it's an opportunity not only to talk to them yourself, but to get them under the sound of the gospel in other means. Many, many years ago, my wife sang a song. I don't know if you remember the song that was somewhat popular among Christians many years ago. It was called Church is Finally Over. And I don't remember all the words to it. I don't remember hardly any of the words. I remember the title of it. She sang that song. A man who was sitting in the church service, wasn't here, but a man who was sitting in the church service heard that song. And when the preacher got done preaching, he was right down to the front. And he got saved. Because that song saying, if you don't get it now, you may never get it. And God used that. We have no idea. One of the things I remember as well, I was worked as associate pastor of Brother Ken Blue for 3 years, and one of my jobs was, if somebody walked the aisle, was to deal with them. And we had this man at the end of the service walk down the aisle. Honestly, I had not been touched that day. My spirit was not where it ought to be. But he walked down the aisle, and I took the Word of God. And I opened up for him and showed him what Scripture said. Thank God for the power of the Word of God that is not dependent upon my spirit. And he got saved. What brought it about? He told me this. He said, when that preacher was preaching, people were paying attention, and I heard him saying amen. And he says, man, if these folks think this is important, it must be. And he got saved. God's marvelous. Amen. God wants to use us, and thank God for the privilege. We have a word of prayer. I think Chad's got a mission letter or two there. And we'll hear from those. Father, thank you so much tonight for the privilege of going to church. Thank you for brethren that encourage us and exhort us and help us in so many different ways. Lord, we just praise you for that. We realize and recognize, too, that heaven's going to be about a family unit, a great congregation of people as we're round about the throne of God. And you'll allow us just a little hint of that here on earth. We pray that you might bless the remainder of time we have together, for we ask it in Jesus' name.